Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to another episode of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we have Rick Kosnett talking about a brand new film that he's got out, Shoulder Dance. We'll talk about where you can see it and how you can view it. Later on, we'll be talking about that Variety article about Is Marvel Comics in Trouble with our official comic book sponsor, Larry from Bugs Comics and Games. All that, plus we take your calls and texts. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. And if you don't know, Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, for all the houses, one ring rules them all. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch.
And if you're driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight listening to us on the big 550 KTRS, we appreciate all of you tuning in and listening. If you're watching us on YouTube and Facebook tonight, hello to all of you. We appreciate you finding us there. And as always, if you're hearing us after the fact in the podcast form, thank you very much for tuning in, subscribing, and listening. If you haven't already done so, leave us a five-star review on your platform of choice. That always helps us in search engine optimization and makes everything better for us, which that's really the key, isn't it? But we do appreciate everyone subscribing and listening. My first guest, so excited. I've not had him on the show before. We've met. We were just talking about off-air at Wizard World when he came through in 2014. Here in St. Louis. I've got a great picture of the two of us. I look much younger. He looks about the same because, as you can see in the video, he is sun-drenched and warm, and I'm very jealous. My first guest, Rick Kosnett. How are you?
Thank you, James, so much for that wonderful introduction. I am fantastic. I'm here in Tasmania and very happy to be promoting this new film of mine, Shoulder Dance, which I'm very, very proud of.
As you should be. I know. I think it won two awards. Maggie Gyo got an award, and then it was best LGBTQ film at the festival for the, was it the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival?
Yeah. Thank you. We've won about six or seven now since then.
Nice.
So it's been really good. It's been the audience pick for a lot of festivals and best ensemble. It's a really, really fun, incredible little film.
What drew you to the script? Because obviously it's certain actors, they take and pass on jobs depending on who's attached, who's the director, what the things are. What drew you to this particular script?
Yeah, absolutely. The script was just really, really great. And they are very few and far between. So it's pretty crazy. It's the most accurate script I've read about people being on drugs. It is very, outrageous, but also a beautiful story. I couldn't believe that they trusted me with this character, who I sort of based on Jason Momoa, if I'm honest.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's just, this wonderful, crazy, beautiful energy, just very sexy, very confident, and very loud, straight guy who's just... comes in and sort of, what's the word, stirs everything up. It's over this one weekend in the Hamptons. There's five characters and, they're all interwoven pretty, pretty cleverly. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the layering of how they kind of traded and switched back and forth between the characters in this. It seemed like a very much an ensemble cast, which was nice to see.
It really is. And that's what was so special about it for me. It was a real collaborative job. And we were really just working off each other, working with wonderful actors and beautiful creatives. And the script was just wonderful. So in that way, things can still go wrong after sure. that. But it was that coupled with the chemistry of all of us was just really instantaneous. And I, I just, for me, it was a big breakthrough, I think, in my work in terms of it was such a different character for me. I did so much work every morning to get into the vibe of him. We filmed in Malibu, actually. And, you know, I just came in hot every day. I just came in hot, especially in my first scene, which is where we actually meet my character, Roger. I knew I just had to come in full steam ahead, and just everyone was like, whoa.
Which set the tone, because that's the kind of energy this character has throughout. It's very
exactly.
Big.
Yep, and it mirrors what's happening in the story, so that was important, you know. And we sort of filmed, as chronologically as possible, which was super helpful.
Yeah, no
well.
Kidding.
Yeah. Wow.
And the one word that I keep coming back to with this film is just charming. It's delightful. It's charming. It's sweet.
Amazing.
And there's a lot of films where, there's a dark side. Somebody's going to, do someone wrong. But this just seemed like such a charming is the word I keep coming back to film.
Yeah, that's great to hear. That's great to hear. It is. It's really charming. It's an easy watch in that sense. And it's gripping at the same time, because you're sort of wondering the whole time what's going to really go down. You know, there's this undertone of, oh, my gosh, who's going to get together? And who's, who's going to stay together? And what is really going on with people's sexuality and all that delicious stuff? Yeah.
You mentioned the chemistry between you. I was wondering, some of you had to have worked together on projects before, because it just seems like you literally were fast friends. All of you had that remarkable chemistry that's almost like lightning in a bottle. You don't see it on every project. So that was my question. Have you ever worked with any of them before? Had any of them worked together?
Thanks, James. Yeah, people have been saying that at festivals all across the country. It's really exciting. We didn't know each other, any of us.
Wow.
When we started filming. Yeah. And so, for me, it was a lot of substitution at first. A lot of work went into that in terms of, I have really close bonds with people from my teenage years, which is what, that, and then substituting, my girlfriend and all that great work. I did a lot of that stuff. I just felt like my craft has sort of come a long way and come 360 and back to drama school, back to basics, and really just going hard with all those techniques, which is what got me in. And then once you're in, you just go with it, and you feel that connection that's right in front of you, which was a really special one for all of us. I think we all on a very deep level really just felt this one. It was very cool.
And mention the cast too, Matt Dallas, Taylor Frey, Maggie Gia, who we've actually had Maggie on the show before when she was on Gotham. Samuel
Fabulous.
Larson was from Glee, but just a great cast.
So good too. Yeah, they're all so good. I know Maggie plays my girlfriend, and she was just spectacular. She is such an incredible actress. It was also such a different character for her. Very far from her as well. And so that was just wonderful. Matt and Taylor, I just have such incredible chemistry, and we all did. But they bring, just so much richness to the story. And it kind of centers around their relationship. And then Samuel Larson just bringing all the funny. He's hysterical. It was special.
Did you and Maggie swap stories, since you're both veterans of the comic book genre? You from Flash and she from Gotham?
I know, yes. We definitely have similar trajectories in terms of our fans and the Comic Cons. And, so that was really special, because I feel like we feel the same way about a lot of things and about how special our acting is and how lucky we've been to be part of these comic book lore, at the same time, and be able to do what we love and have people who support us. And she certainly has that. And I've experienced that with a few of her fans online who go nuts and who have been creating fan art for Shoulder Dance and are obsessed with all of us. And I'm totally here for it and encouraging it all.
Are all of you able to go to these various film festivals, or just a couple of you at a time? Because I figure this would be a party you don't want to stop. You want to keep going to the film festivals and keep hanging out with these people.
I know. No, honestly, we do. Like, we have a text chain like almost every day still. And we filmed it a year and a half ago.
Wow.
So funny. I'm in Australia at the moment. I can tell my Australian accent is very strong. But I'm just affected all the time. I'm either Zimbabwean, Australian, English, or American. Which one do you want? But in this film, I get to sort of speak in my natural accent, which is just a kind of a mix, mm-hmm. Which was a big breakthrough for me in terms of being able to use my natural voice for once, which a lot of actors sort of get to do a lot. And I hadn't yet. So this was the first time for that. And it was very, very cool. But in terms of what were we talking about? This is so me. I go on a tangent and I don't know where I was going. Back.
I'm the same.
Oh, that's right. The party that continues with the film festivals. Yeah, it's been great. We've been to San Diego. We haven't all been together yet. Unfortunately, we've almost been together like twice, and it didn't quite happen because someone had a commitment, or someone at the last minute had something come up. So yeah, we have yet to have a full reunion, which is going to be the best. Yeah. But yeah, we've been to San Diego. They're going to Florida now. We've been Palm Springs, Philadelphia, kind of all around, which has been great. Yeah.
And the film, if I'm not mistaken, drops on the 14th. I think I had the 14th, I believe it drops online.
That sounds right. Yes. You might know more than I would on that. yeah, I believe it's going to be available on what, Amazon, Apple, all of them. I'm not quite sure, to be honest.
Yeah, I believe it was, I know it was Amazon and maybe Apple as well. It said on demand as of the 14th. So I assume there's probably going to be several platforms, hopefully several platforms that have the release for it.
Yes, I'm tech challenged, so I...
As am I. That's why I've always got my executive producer, Joey, sits across from me and handles all the video and the tech and everything.
Oh, thank God for Joey.
He knows.
Thank
I know, exactly. I say like that every day. Thank God for Joey.
Honestly,
but I'm assuming that you guys, because the 14th is the premiere, are you guys, you said you keep missing each other. There's like one of you keeps missing. Are you guys being able to get together for the watch party for the premiere maybe or something like that?
Well, you see, I'm in Australia until after Christmas.
Oh, no, okay.
And
make them come to you, Rick.
We're also on strike. It's just like such a weird time. But we're going to definitely at some point, hopefully there's going to be like a big thing for it. Or if not, we'll just make one. But we're going to have my friends. Actually, I was talking about it today in anticipation of this interview. And my friends here were like, we have to have a watch party in Sydney.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that at least when it comes out on streaming. So, yeah.
I'm always curious, again, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking with Rick Costnett, brand new film Shoulder Dance coming out on the 14th. You can catch it on demand. We'll have a link if you're listening to this after the fact in the podcast form, scroll down to the bottom of the page. We'll have a link in the show notes where you can find the movie there as we chat with Rick Costnett. I wanted to ask, I'm always curious about the casting process. Did the part you got, was that the part you read for? Were you one of the first people cast? And who did you have chemistry reads with?
Yeah, so Matt Dallas was cast first. And then I believe it was me next. And they offered the role to me, which was fantastic because I cannot stand auditions, you know, and I don't even know. I mean, some people do like them. I do not know why, but you know, I'm sure the majority of actors hate them. I'm not probably alone there, but I just can't stand them. I think they're just absolutely awful. And just so weird. I'm better at theater auditions. I'm pretty good at theater auditions actually. But film and TV auditions, I just find so weird. You're standing on a piece of masking tape in the middle of a room, trying to react to your circumstances, which is basically awkward.
Right.
So you have to like not react to your circumstances. And I get so nervous. but you know, I've obviously nailed a few in my time,
sure.
But if I was better at it, I would have nailed more, but you know, you do get better at it. But thank goodness, it was so wonderful of them to trust me as I said before, with this character who to me was so different. But now that I've done it, you know, it's probably, you know, it did look easy when I was watching it back. And I think that was the big achievement for me is that, you know, to make something look easy is the goal. And I'm finally getting there as an actor. So, yeah.
That's funny to hear you say that, because I know you've been working consistently for, you know, the past couple of decades. But I wanted to ask about, because you mentioned theater auditions. I know that's where you got your start. You did theater to begin with. And every actor I've ever talked to who started in theater, that remains their first love. And you kind of hinted at that with the auditions comment. Is theater still for you? Is that something you always want to go back to?
Yeah, I mean, I just did a play, actually. It's easy for me. It's easier for me. I feel very comfortable in the theater. But it is also a lot of work and a lot of pressure, but every job is, you know.
Right.
And they say, find the torture that you're comfortable with. My torture is definitely acting. And, you know, it is a bit of that uncomfortability, as, you know, Barbara Streisand has it, Nicole Kidman has it. And film and TV, I also equally love, though. Because it's the same thing to me. It's all about those, you know, the magical moments between action and cut are just like the moments that you're on stage.
Yeah.
For the duration of the play. They're just sort of a bit shorter when you're filming. A lot shorter. And but there's still that, for me, it's that same, you know, suspension of disbelief and that same kind of adrenaline. And I just really, like, want to be an actor, a good actor, so badly that, like, there's the same amount of pressure to me. Whereas if I'm on stage, if one person sees it, or if like millions of people see it, I'm like a perfectionist in that way, which is really irritating, because that can also hinder you a lot.
Sure.
But, you know,
yeah,
I obviously have trained and worked to be as free as I can within that. It's something that I adore from, you know, theater, film, and TV. It's all about the quality of the writing, quality of the other actors, the director. You know, it's all a collaborative thing. So if those things are wonderful, then you have a great experience, be it, you know, no matter what medium it's in my experience. Yeah.
And again, Shoulder Dance is available on 11/14, so it's just less than 2 weeks away here, and you can catch that on demand on wherever you get your streaming service of choice. If you don't, make sure you subscribe to the streaming service of choice so you don't miss Shoulder Dance. Well, I'd love to talk to you about Flash, because I'm a huge comic book guy, but I know we can't talk about companies against which people are struck because of the writers or the actors' strike is still ongoing. So with pushing that off right now, I want to push on one of those points you just had talked about. I find it interesting that someone of your stature still gets nerves, it sounds like, when you're working on a project, that you still kind of have that drive, which I guess is good. It's kind of what makes you always improving. But I also find that, because someone at your level, I would think you've got it down by now.
Thank you, James. Tell me more. you know, I think it's just being human as well. Being human, you know, you have all these voices in your head that you have to constantly manage. You know, and those things from your human being. So these things from your childhood and, you know, the most of your life, any star, even if you're Brad Pitt, most of your life has been spent off camera, you know, percentage wise. You're sort of still dealing with all of that stuff. And I still find it fascinating when I meet people that I admire, and I think, it shocks me that they are human. I'm like, wait, what? You know? So I totally get it. But you know, it's sort of a wonderful thing that we all have these similarities, and, you want to get better and better as an actor. So you really, for me, you know, it's a pressure that I put on myself. And you always just feel like, I hope I don't suck, in the back of your mind. And then, you know, you also have that other capacity, thank goodness, that I have to just, you know, really try and really nail it and just go for gold, you know, which is what I've wanted my whole life. I've just wanted to be a good actor for some weird reason. It's something that I have an obsession over. So I just love it. I love watching beautiful work, and it really just turns me on. Yeah.
So with that in mind, who are your, if you had to put a Mount Rushmore of who your personal favorite actors are, who would you put on that wall or that mountain or whatever it may be?
I would put Alison Janney on there. I would put Toni Collette on there. I would obviously put Meryl Streep on there. Edward Norton probably as well. I do love Tom Hardy. I also love, Laura Dern. I mean, there's so many. But Toni Collette's always been my number one, to be honest. Muriel's Wedding has always been my favorite film of all time.
I've never seen her in anything where she wasn't just brilliant. I mean, she always just, whether she's doing a horror genre or whether she's the mom in Little Miss Sunshine, she's always so good.
Or a play. I saw her in Broadway, The Realistic Joneses. Just out of this world.
Wow. Yeah. Huh. See, it's, the problem about living in St. Louis is that I don't often get to see actors take stage, because I know we had John Glover on. He was talking about a play he was doing. I'm like, ugh. Maybe I should move to New York. Yeah. I don't know.
I know. Gosh, so many good things happen in New York. Although I also saw Cate Blanchett doing A Streetcar Named Desire in Sydney, which was very special.
Wow.
And Joel Edgerton. Robin McCleavy. Australia. It's weird to be back in Australia, but so great to. They just, you know, I'm so grateful to Australia because they really trained me well here at university, and they have a. You know, they just have a great work ethic and a great bar in terms of what they feel is good work. You know, and the US obviously has that in spades. But I guess it's a sort of a smaller pool here. So you kind of get to know everyone and get to know the ropes in a different way. Before I went to the States, which was such a huge pond, I was sort of a lot more prepared, I think, which I was grateful for. Yeah.
And you seem to have found great success given your resume so far with Vampire Diaries and Flash, all the movies you've done and things like that. So it's always great to see you on screen, whether it's the big one or the small one. Before I let you go, because I told you I wouldn't keep you too long, I noticed your IMDb trivia page is rather scant. So we're going to play a game. We haven't done this for a long time called This or That. I ask you your choice between two things. There's no wrong answer because it's your choice, and whatever your choice is the right answer. So if I were to ask you your preference between peanut butter, crunchy or smooth?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. Oh my gosh. I like to eat the smooth straight out of the jar, and I like to put the crunchy on toast with butter.
Oh, okay. So a little bit of both. All right.
Yeah.
If you're going on a vacation, mountains or beach?
Ooh, these are hard questions. well, right now I'm in the mountains, so I'm going to say mountains.
Okay.
But then I also want to feel like beachy and sexy. So
right.
I'm going to say both again.
See, as pale as I am, I don't look sexy on the beach ever.
Cape Town is mountains and beach. So.
All right, there you go. And my final one, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to have to say Star Wars because I just love the whole...
Bless you.
I loved when they brought Carrie Fisher back for this... recent one, and Laura Dern was in that one too.
That's true.
And I also just love what's his name who plays Adam Driver. I had a dream about Adam Driver last night. Actually, we won't go into detail.
I was going to say, is it fit for broadcast? This dream you has, it fit for broadcast? It's FCC rules.
It wasn't
so.
One of those dreams. I was actually in a cast with Adam Driver, because I'm sure everyone's very interested in the dream I had last night. We were at some posh house, and I just remember walking past Adam. I didn't say hi, but I was just like, you know, this is where I'm meant to be. I was like, in an ensemble with Adam Driver. It feels right to me.
So we need to get you in a Star Wars movie then with Adam Driver as Kylo Ren. That's
100%.
What we need to do.
Let's do it. John Boyega, me, let's do it.
And we've got one person in the comments in our chat just said, it's our friend Chance from Atlanta, Georgia, just said that watching you and your mannerisms, you remind him of Heath Ledger, which is a great compliment.
Oh my God, that's made my day. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, so Chance, you just made made Rick's day.
Chance, that's a great name.
If people want to keep up with you, obviously, we're going to put a link in the comments to where you can catch Shoulder Dance on your streaming service of choice. If people want to keep up with you, are you very active? Social media handles, things like that?
Yes, absolutely. You'll find it all there. I update people, especially work-wise, constantly on my Instagram, which is at Rick Cosnett. It's pretty easy to find. It's the verified one. I'm also on what used to be Twitter, which I can't remember the name of.
X, I think, now.
X. thank you. And we also have this little show on Instagram called At The Vaucluse Daily, which I'm working on while I'm here. So that's pretty fun. If you want to keep up with me, I have this character.
We froze. Can you still hear me? You froze up. Can you hear me okay?
There you go. Montrosky. And we're very... Oh, yes. Sorry.
No, you're fine now.
Am I back?
You're
all
back.
Where did you lose name? It's me. Okay, great. Susan Vontrovsky and Jill Meriwether Worthing. And we're quite famous in Australia now. So we're sort of working on something behind the scenes. But we have it on Instagram at The Vaucluse Daily. If you want to follow all the silly shenanigans and goings on, we're basically just making people laugh, which we love to do.
I'm all about silly shenanigans, so I'll be checking that out for sure. Rick Cosnett, I appreciate your time. Again, Shoulder Dance is available on streaming services November the 14th. Make sure to check that out. Hopefully we can have you back, because like I said, I'd love to talk about Flash. Maybe after this horrible strike is over, we can have you back on again when you've got a break in your schedule.
Yes, thanks, James. Looks like it might be coming to an end soon-ish, so fingers crossed.
Yes, indeed.
Because, you know, I love all that. And yeah, thanks for talking about Shoulder Dance. It means a lot to me, and I'm sure people are going to really enjoy it. It seems to be catching fire. So
very cool. I hope so. Hopefully we get to see more of you in things like this and the rest of the talented cast as well. Rick Cosnett, I appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, James. Cheers, guys.
Take care. Be well.
Bye.
There he goes, Rick Cosnett. If you get a chance to check out this movie, it's, like I said, charming is the word I'd use. Absolutely delightful, heartwarming. So this is a movie anybody who likes any of those words I just said should definitely check this out on streaming platforms as of November the 14th. We are going to take a very brief commercial break. We're going to come right back. We're going to be talking with Larry from Bugs Comics and Games about that article in Variety about is Marvel losing their luster, what they might be able to do to fix it, all that and more. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hello, this is Jim Cummings, and this is Hondo Naga. Don't move an inch. You are listening to Geek to Me Radio, and I will be checking on you.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, James Enstall. I want to make sure we tell you about our premier sponsor, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. Of course, the website is discoverstcharles.com. Something for everyone. If you go out there, you are going to have a great time. They just wrapped up their big Halloween Legends and Lanterns Festival, which was great fun. So many people attended. I think they said I'm not sure how they gauge it. They made based on mobile phone information, like people accessing their phones, they're able to track that stuff, I guess. But they said opening weekend of this festival alone, they had 19,000 people come out just for that opening weekend. And I know the second weekend was even more packed than that, it felt like, out in the streets. So crazy busy. And if you missed out, though, Christmas traditions, they're gearing up for that. The largest and longest running Christmas festival in the country takes place starting on Black Friday. Don't go to the mall to do your shopping. Come out and visit all your friends at Legend, or that Christmas traditions, and do shopping with all these small businesses. Have some great food while you're out there shopping. Take part of this picturesque atmosphere with the cobblestone streets and the old buildings. decked with holly in the ivy, and you get to interact with people like the French Father Christmas, Père Noël, or Yule Nice and his Yule goat, Yuli. Carolers dressed in period garb singing period songs from different decades throughout American history. Just a It looks like a postcard. You got to go check it out. If you're a Christmas fan or a holiday fan, you want to go down there. They've got something for everyone. So the website to start planning your trip, discoverstcharles.com. That's discoverstcharles.com. Whether you're coming from out of town or whether you're local, haven't been to St. Charles for a while, this would be a great year to go. It's their 24th season, and they've got some cool new things in store for their, 49th season. Wow, I was wrong. I doubled it. Strike that, reverse it. 49th season coming up. Their big 50th is right around the corner, and it's really, really an exciting time. DiscoverStCharles.com. Once again, that website, DiscoverStCharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. My next guest is our comic book sponsor here, Bugs Comics and Games. We've got Larry Quiggins on the phone because I needed to talk to somebody about this comic book stuff. Variety, in case you missed it, Variety put out an article last week. Is Marvel in trouble? Disney's biggest hit maker needs to flex its muscles to overcome superhero fatigue, and their new movie, The Marvels, won't be the answer. We're going to get into that now, and of course, we'll take your text if you have any comments on it at 84126. I've got Larry Quiggins on the phone right now from Bugs Comics. Larry, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. I couldn't think of anyone else I'd rather talk to about this, because you and I, every time a new superhero movie comes out, I come in the store to buy my comics, and we start talking. We're like, oh, what do you think of, you know, Morbius, and kind of get into all the details. But did you get a chance to read this article?
I did read the article after you sent it to me and talked to me about being on the show. I was like, well, I should read the article. And I'd already seen the article before that. It's kind of funny. Before you sent to me, I must have saw somewhere some blurb about it, and I just kind of blew it off. Huh. Because I personally think this is a lot of Hollywood, whatever you want to say, connected to Hollywood and stuff like that. Just kind of like they want superhero movies to be done.
Hmm.
There's a lot of jealousy that's been about it. I mean, I just happened to, I was like, well, I'm like, you know what? How much did the first Captain Marvel movie make? So I'm just looking here. On August 3rd, 2019, it says the blockbuster has generated $358 million in North America, along with $645 million overseas. So it passed a billion.
Yeah, $1.12 billion to be exact on a $152 million budget. It's one of Marvel's top 10 highest grossing films. And I know so part of that had the benefit of being wedged in between Infinity War and Endgame, which was kind of made it required viewing.
True. We'll give it, I can give it to that. But still, now I think this movie is going to be very interesting in a lot of aspects. I myself am afraid I've got too great expectations for it because I'm really excited and looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid I'm going to get myself disappointed because you get so excited and it's like, God, that is great.
Sure.
As you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But reading the article, they talk about, well, this movie went back to all these reshoots. Other spots that I've read about, a lot of these reshoots, I think, were to try to make it light. Trying to, we want to talk about acting, characterization, humanize her more.
Right.
Because she has that, you got that whole stigma of the strong woman, and there's, you know, so many people that apparently have a problem with Brie Larson and such like that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to lighten her up. I love the fact that they've got, I cannot think of the actress's name, who plays Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel is played by Iman Vellania, I believe.
Right. And I think she's going to bring a lot to the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of hoping and expecting that Monica Photon is going to be a breakout star in the films, too.
You and I talked about this at the store. When I started reading Avengers, Monica Rambeau was Captain Marvel. Mar-Vell had already died. And at the time, Carol Danvers was a character called Binary, who was running around with the Starjammers.
Right.
So to me, every time when someone says Captain Marvel, my first go-to is picturing Monica Rambeau in the silver and black suit. Zipping around as a bolt of light with her light-based powers, which they've done a good job of kind of hinting at those kind of powers that she has in WandaVision.
Yes.
So I'm very excited to see her in this movie. She's, honestly, for me, Tavana Paris, who plays Monica Rambeau, she's the draw for me because I want to see that Captain Marvel.
Yes. Yes, I agree. It would be interesting if the mantle were to be passed, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, it depends, I guess, because I know I'm not going to speculate. I know a lot of people have problems with Brie Larson for this reason, that reason, or whatever. But assuming maybe she just might be like, you know what? This was supposed to be my sequel. I'm not even getting billed on my own sequel. It's not Captain Marvel 2. It's just The Marvels, which was a name change I know they did early on. She might be a bit of superhero fatigue herself and be like, I'm out. In which case I could see Tavana Paris coming in to take the mantle, which I'd be fine with because we've already got at the end of Thor: Love and Thunder, we now have Hercules. At the end of the Eternals, throughout Eternals, we saw Dane Whitman, Black Knight. We now have Star Fox as well. Horrible casting choice on that part, but that's another story. So we've got those 80s Avengers. We've got Namor.
And
I would be down for seeing that
come back still.
Yes. Yes.
So you throw him in there as well.
One of the things they've talked about, because I know it's just interesting, Larry, I'm not sure how much I did some side research on this. The highest grossing films were, generally speaking, all from Marvel's first three phases. Obviously, Endgame with 2.7 billion, Infinity War with 2 billion. Spider-Man No Way Home is the exception because that was, I think, no, that was it, that was the still, I think, included in phase three, I believe. 1.9.
Avengers 2. One or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Avengers 2, Black Panther, Iron Man 3, Captain America 3, Spider-Man Far From Home, and Captain Marvel rounding out the top 10. The lowest grossing Marvel films, with the exception of Incredible Hulk and Captain America, are mostly from the new slate. Black Widow came in there. It didn't even make over their budget. It didn't even make $100 million over their budget. Eternals, that was they only brought in $402.1 million on a budget of $236 million. Shang-Chi did better than the Eternals, actually, but still was not. It's in their lower grossing range. Ant-Man 3 barely eked out a profit at all, if anything. So it seems like most of their newer stuff seems to be struggling, which they've talked now about bringing in Captain America and Iron Man back to try to revitalize the franchise. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know as well as I do throughout the history of the Avengers comic book, there's always got to be one of the big three around.
We still got Thor, so.
Exactly. Like I said, you have Hemsworth. We all know that Robert Downey Jr. can very easily come back as Tony because it's not as demanding. It's going to be tough for Chris Evans to come back as Cap.
Yeah.
It's going to be all about, is he going to keep himself in condition and blah, blah, blah. I mean, on that. Can you recast Cap? I think you can. You get him a few years, I think you can.
Yeah.
If you do the right recasting. To say, that's something that was talked about in that article, you know, are they going to have to recast and blah, blah, blah. Well, sure, you're going to have to recast some and such like that. You got to keep the mainstream characters around.
Yeah.
If you think you're not going to have Spider-Man be around in the franchise anymore, well, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You know, so.
They've done a couple of recasts already. I know it was only one film, but we recast Don Cheadle. We brought him in to be Rhodey.
Right.
And they recast Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. So it's not like the Marvel Universe has been locked in.
You know, so it's movie history. I mean, come on. It's movie history.
Yeah.
Roles. How many people play Tarzan?
Right, or James Bond.
Right. You know, so I like I said, I think a lot of the article kind of is like the sky is falling type of thing. Yeah, we've got some movies. And yes, has this phase not been as strong as the first three phases storytelling wise? Oh yeah. There's no way you can not deny that. But your movies we're naming like Shang-Chi and Eternals, if you think about it, in the comics, those are mid-tier characters that never really hit the big success that the other characters did anyway. So is it really that out of the question that they didn't really attain the heights of an Avengers Endgame or something like that?
But it's hard to say because arguably Iron Man was a mid-tier character until the movie.
He was
always a good character in the comic books, but a lot of people were like, eh. Same with Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody expected that one to do the amount of business it did.
And, you know, and there's where also Guardians 3 throws the whole wrench in the works of, well, it's superhero fatigue, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's tired of it. Oh, shoot. Everybody's loving Guardians of the Galaxy. It made $1 billion.
That was their highest grossing. Yeah, I think it's $850 million. So
there was a story to be told. And, of course, you and I both know if there's a good story to be told, that's what you're going to get. That's why Phase 3 and all that was so big. The story was good.
Yeah. And it seems like I know, actually, we'll probably need to take a quick break. BK on the air in the comments out of Cartersville, Georgia says, yeah, I certainly think Marvel Studios is in a bit of trouble for sure. BK, thanks for listening, and I appreciate the comments. It seems to be that way, but we're going to take a very, very quick commercial break. We're going to come back in just a moment, and we'll continue our talk about Marvel Studios. If you would like to text us in, we have the chat going online, but you can also text your thoughts to us at 84126 on the KTRS text lines. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Geek to Me Radio, your home for all things pop culture here on the Big 550 KTRS. Heard every Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. That's 9 o'clock for all of you in my time zone right here in the St. Louis area. We appreciate you listening, and hopefully you found us online and are listening to us there as well. Want to make sure we tell you about, since we've got him on the phone, Larry from Bugs Comics and Games is our official comic book sponsor here, and they've got a huge sale coming up, their second year anniversary sale, 50% off everything other than the brand new comics. So go in there. If you've been eyeing the thing, and it's funny, I was telling Larry today, I was in the shop, I guess it was Saturday, Larry, I was in there Friday or Saturday, and the guy was eyeing something in the case, and you told him, he said, well, I got a 50% off sale coming up next weekend. And the guy's like, oh, I'm coming back for this one and this one. Because you've got a lot of great books in the case, and that's a great time to pick up some back issues, is at a 50% off sale. And it's everything except new comics, right?
Yes. Yes. Everything except for the comics that came out that week, pretty much.
And this is Saturday, November the 11th from 12 till 6. Sunday, November the 12th, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Congratulations on 2 years. I know for brick and mortar stores, especially in this economy, that's quite an accomplishment to have stayed open 2 years.
Yes, thank you. It is. The economy has definitely been challenging. And the comic market has actually been challenging, too, just how everything has been playing out over the last few years with the three distributors and such. So,
yeah, no, that's my gosh, we could almost do an entire show on that. But if you are looking to save some money and you're listening to this right now, join Larry's Avengers Club. You go in there, you pick out a character, he gives you an Avengers ID card, and you start saving money on your new issues, your back issues, your toys, your games, your supplies. Larry always thinks it's funny because I buy Golden Age backboards, Silver Age bags, and I cut the boards down because I'm OCD and I don't like that little bit of wiggle when you get the Silver Age board with the Silver Age bag. But you can save money on all that kind of stuff if you join the Avengers Club. No minimum number of books for pull list, too. If you just want one or two titles pulled, Larry will be glad to do that for you. Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook, and he's brand new on Instagram. He's only been there for a little while, so if you're listening right now and you're an Instagram junkie like myself, make sure to give him a follow, Bugs Comics and Games on Instagram as well, and hopefully I will see all of you at his big second anniversary sale for 50% off everything in the store except new comics, November the 11th and Sunday, November the 12th. Larry is my guest in this segment as we are talking about superhero fatigue, according to this article in Variety. I thought it was interesting, too, kind of going off of that, is it superhero fatigue or not? Loki Season 2, the viewership numbers from Season 1 are down 39%. And they're saying also with the Marvels is currently projected with their tracking box office tickets, people who bought pre-sale, it's between maybe they're hoping to make 50 to at the best 75 million, which is a third to half of opening weekend for the original Captain Marvel 4 years ago.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm hoping it'll catch fire. I'm hoping it's one of those that might have kind of a mediocre opening weekend, but I'm hope, like I said, my expectations, I hope it's going to be really good, and then the word of mouth will be going, you know.
Yeah.
We'll get going. And
I was chatting with some friends because we were talking about this Variety article in one of my Twitter groups that I'm in, and they were saying, just, you know, obviously with Marvel Phase 4 was a lot of experimentation. They're trying new things. We got the She-Hulk series, which I personally loved because I was a fan of the John Byrne run. It was very much like that, the breaking of the fourth wall. They tried Eternals, which was this big, grandiose Academy Award bait movie with this huge star-studded cast. They've done the Shang-Chi with, like, the martial arts aspect. They've been throwing a lot of stuff at the wall, but I don't feel like there's been any through line until the end of Loki Season 1 and with, obviously, Quantumania with Kang being set, because now we've got something like, oh, this is what it's kind of leading up for. But I still feel it's very scattered, and I think the viewership numbers on Loki Season 2 kind of reflect that. Couple that with the fact that the actor, Jonathan Majors, who plays Kang, is now in some legal trouble. So I'm not sure how this is going to go.
We could talk about the temporal elephant in the room, so to speak.
Yeah.
The Variety article talked about it, and apparently it was talked about at the Marvel Summit thing that happened out in San Diego.
Yeah.
Where they actually talked about, do they change Kang out for Doom, Dr. Doom? I kind of hope they don't do something like that, or if they do, there's no reason why you can't necessarily introduce Doom before the Fantastic Four, because he really shouldn't be there for the origin of the Fantastic Four anyway.
No.
And yes, the legal troubles, but we're still into just, they're going to court, but there's been no proof, per se, that I've heard
right.
or seen of.
Yeah, not, I mean,
about,
it seems,
you know,
very, he so, said, she said, at first it was
right.
like his agency dropped him and everything like that. He's picked up new representation, but then it was like, oh, comes to find out she lied about some of this stuff. But now there's been other people have come forward and said, well, it happened to me too. So now he's back in the hot seat. And it just feels like this role.
I didn't know
I'm sure
other people
it's hard
come
for him too. But
gets that.
Yeah, it's kind of a roller coaster. I'm not sure. I'm sure the studio's kind of wondering too. Do we go for it, or is that another recast?
Well, I kind of figured with when they aired Loki the season two and him in it that they felt like, okay, we're going to go on. I haven't watched the last episode, but I felt that he's been great in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I like the show, but I think I said before, I can take Loki all day long. I love the actor who plays him so much.
I think Tom Hiddleston is one of those constants too. I'm glad that he's decided to stay on, just like Chris Hemsworth, because you kind of need those anchor characters to kind of keep things in the same vein. And I'm not of the mindset they couldn't recast Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr., especially because they've opened up the multiverse. So if we get someone else, oh, I'm Tony Stark from this other, or like they did in, this is just me kind of fanboying and kind of thinking, well, they could bring in a young kid like they did in the 90s when Tony Stark, they brought in a different Tony Stark as a little kid who was still a genius. He's like,
I remember that,
14 years old. They could do that, and then down
the
road,
Tony Stark,
and bring in a new older actor to play Tony Stark. So have the kid Tony for a movie or two or a series, and then recast, you know, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, someone else. That's, I mean, there's so many different ways they could go with this, but there are some people who are saying, no, you can't recast those characters. You've got to wait at least 10 years, which I don't think is tenable.
No, maybe with Robert Downey, because he can, technically the way they do him with Iron Man, he could be playing Iron Man into his 60s.
Sure, yeah.
It's like I said before, it's Chris Evans. You're doing Captain America, and you have to be in that kind of shape.
Right.
It's difficult to attain as you get older. You know, we all need to really be fortunate to stray in the subject, but, you know, Deadpool 3, we're going to get another movie with Hugh Jackman as Logan, you know, and he's getting to the age to where he's already said, you know, before. So this is like, it's tough just to say. So I'm not saying it's out of the question that we wouldn't see Chris Evans again, but it's definitely would be one that, and I think he even said something about maybe doing a cameo or something. Mm. So,
and for people who are keeping up currently with comics, they just did a couple years ago where it was old man Steve Rogers, Captain America, with, you know, the Falcon as Captain America as well. They had two Captain Americas, and right. Steve was older. They could even do something like that if they wanted to.
Sure.
To have Steve back in the fold. I don't
know,
but I feel like, I'm not sure if it's a, it's because the Variety article also went on to say that, because the VXF people, obviously they unionized because they were like, hey, we're getting run into the ground here because they switched places with Captain Marvel 2 and Ant-Man and pushed all the VFX stuff up on Quantumania by 4.5 months.
Right.
So they're struggling. They're working long hours. And then they pushed it back on, hey, we wouldn't be struggling if the writers got their crap together. So it seems like it's a writing problem as well. And I feel that's not an unwarranted complaint because the writing has been all over the board. She-Hulk, as much as I loved She-Hulk, that ending was a non-ending. That's just like, we don't know what to do. Hey, let's just do this and pretend it's funny. It wasn't a good ending for that series.
No, no. The only positive I got from it was I kind of felt like we're going to get a second season.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you're right about the writing. I mean, look at some of the, I mean, come on, Thor, Love and Thunder.
That was abysmal. That's
writing
that's...
was just terrible. And there needs to be, Feige needs to put on that Jim Shooter hat again and, you know, and put it all under and say, no, this has got to be this way because it doesn't make sense with this movie or blah, blah, blah. And keep that consistency, that continuity. And I think they learned that, what's his name, just isn't a writer. I'm not saying we won't see him direct another movie, but I don't think we'll see him be writing another movie.
Yeah, and again, that kind of is telling, too, if they didn't have him back to direct, because the third one was a little bit of a departure from the Kenneth Branagh-directed first Thor, and then we had Dark World, and then Thor 3 was like, whoa, in another direction. But I feel like he just cranked the Taika Waititi up to 11 for the fourth movie, and it did not work.
It was too much.
Yeah.
And trying to be throwing a lot of real serious stuff in there just wasn't – he didn't know how to make a nice blend.
Yeah, the tone was of 4 was all over the board because it's like, oh, Natalie Portman and the Thor. Because that series that Jason Aaron did in, what, mid-2000s, early 2010s, was so good of Jane Foster having the power of Thor. And every time she turned into Thor, it purged the chemotherapy from the body because it thought it was poison. So as she becomes Thor, she's literally dying a little bit more every time she does so. And it was such a great story. And it could have been great in the movie, but they did too much comedy intermixed with it. They just it needed more cohesion in the script, I think.
Yeah. They almost would have served it better if it would have been less Hemsworth Thor and more the Natalie Portman Thor and dealt with that story.
Yeah, I agree. It could have been more of that, or make it a series. Eternals would have been better served, I think, as a series than as a movie. I cannot believe we've already chewed up the hour. It's blowing by here. We've got just about a minute left. Want to tell you once again about the Bugs Comic Anniversary Sale. 50% off everything, November 11th and the 12th. And make sure you get out to that and check out Larry on Instagram at Bugs Comics and Games. Anything else you want to say? Final word on the state of Marvel Cinematic Universe before we let you go, Larry?
Oh, I say let's not put them in the ground yet, and everybody go see Marvels and keep an open mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing to do, because I think a lot of people prejudge. There's so much hate and vitriol on the internet. That's why I always try to keep this show positive, even if we're looking at something and challenging some things. I never want to come down on this stuff, because I love this medium, I love the genre, and hopefully, like you said, hopefully it surpasses expectations. And
we should be thankful that we're getting these just fantastic cinematic comic book superhero movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 61 years old. You'd have said something to me 30, 40 years ago, I never would have ever imagined I would be seeing movies like this. So to me, it's a treat every time.
Yep. I think that's well put. I appreciate your time tonight on a Sunday, Larry. We'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, thanks, buddy. Have a good one.
You too. There he goes, Larry from Bugs Comics. Thanks again to Larry for joining me tonight. Thanks to Rick Kosnett for joining me. Make sure you check out Shoulder Dance on your streaming platform of choice. And, of course, Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. We didn't get to it tonight. We're going to do a trivia contest next week. I promise I've already got a box ready to go. Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. Make sure you check them out on their social medias. It's always cool to see a giant toy store with all the cool stuff they've got. And I'm going to do both cameras because I messed it up last time. Thanks to Joey B. Everybody, so thanks to Joey B. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in and checking out. Thanks to BK and Chance in the chats. I appreciate all of you every week. And until next week, my friends. That's a show. This is Geek to Me Radio. Thank you, Marvel Studios, Burbank. Good night.